On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right. Good morning to you. As you listen to us right now, it's 7:08 in the morning Central Time. Donald Trump has been up for like 48 hours and he's traipsing across Saudi Arabia, meeting with all of the kings and princes and other dignitaries over there. He just stepped off the plane maybe 3 hours ago. I'm thinking it was Fox News started their live coverage around 4 a.m. this morning with Fox and Friends. They've been on nonstop since then, covering the president's arrival there in Saudi Arabia on that 40-year-old Air Force One, which, of course, we're anxious for that brand-new, sparkly cutter Air Force One soon, right?
When do we get to actually see it? Are they going to do some sort of like a tour?
Oh, I saw pictures of it this morning.
Inside,
I think it was the Daily Mail. If you go to the Daily Mail, they've got some pictures of the inside of it. It is extravagant. It's got, you know, everything you would imagine from like Trump Tower is in this thing, with a big like gilded gold look to everything. It's got a master bedroom. It's got a guest bedroom.
What?
It carries about 90 people, because of the way it's modified. It only carries about 90 people. Plus the crew.
Why are they giving this to us again?
Just to be nice.
No, there's, what's the real reason?
Just to be nice.
Yeah, that's why people give a several billion dollar jet.
Well, so here's the thing you need to understand about Qatar, and a friend of mine really had to point this out to me earlier, because I remembered that the United States operated out of there during the Gulf War, out of Qatar, right? And I was about to travel over there as a reporter embedded with the folks from Scott Air Force Base, but the whole embedded thing got canceled before we got to take the trip. But he reminded me that Qatar is the home to the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM. That's their forward headquarters. There's a huge military air base at the air base there, Al Udeid Air Base. So there's a long-standing military relationship with Qatar. It's not the same as Saudi Arabia. And, you know, they knew the president needed a plane. They have ordered a bunch of new planes. This one's about 10 years old, although it's extravagant.
$400 million. This looks like the Titanic in its heyday.
Think of who else could they have sold that plane to, right? It's not designed for commercial air. It only holds 90 people.
A
normal aircraft of that size would hold nearly 500. So in other words, they've gutted the inside of it and redone it for like an executive type airplane. So it's perfect for it's just perfect to be the president's airplane.
It has what looks like a living room. I would describe it as a coffee table. Now, I'm all about someone like a Trump, any president of the United States, getting to fly in something really nice, because if they're having to jet across the world, you know, sometimes weekly, if there's stuff going on, then they need to be comfortable and they need to be able to sleep and all these things. But oh my gosh.
I know. Just remember, it's all Biden's fault. This is just temporary until we get the real Air Force One, which Boeing has somehow dropped the ball on because the Biden administration ordered a bunch of changes. And like on day one, they walked into office and canceled a bunch of the stuff Trump was planning to do to the airplane, screwed everything up, and now it's way behind schedule. So that's kind of where things stand and why the whole airplane thing is coming up. I'm going to get to this for you a little later, but if you didn't hear President Trump torching the reporter from ABC News yesterday with her dumb question about it, I'm going to get to that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, let me see here. We want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump caved to Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party with virtually nothing to show for American workers.
That this is true. Chuck Schumer actually came out yesterday and claimed the China deal, which he said Donald Trump would never strike, is now a bad one. Chuck Schumer has declared that he may be the craziest man in the United States Senate.
It's a terrific deal. It's a reset of tariff. It's not a reset necessarily of the structural trade issues.
It is a reset. That is Larry Kudlow talking about what a good deal this is for America.
Big Pharma will either abide by this principle voluntarily or will use the power of the federal government to ensure that we are paying the same price as other countries.
Yep, that's the drug deal the president's talking about there. A big one, a big deal. And it is, of course, going to potentially save all of us a ton of money. We'll see.
On my podcast, A Spy with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
What Donald Trump's doing, he's saving American money. And, he's really, putting America first again. And, I guarantee the Dems would be okay with this if it was a plane full of illegal immigrants coming to America.
Yeah, Colby Covington last night on Gutfeld, I thought he made a great point there. If the Saudis would just, or the Qatar people would just fill this plane up with illegals and fly it to America, the Democrats would have no problem with it because there's a chance Donald Trump might get to enjoy the use of this nice airplane. They're upset about it.
I think all their morals would go out the window if they got what they want. Like, for example, if you put Abrego Garcia, just one guy, the Maryland man on that plane, all these people who are worried about, sustainable
yes.
fuel and all these things, and they wouldn't care if that plane flew all around the world and just burned everything into our atmosphere. As long as Abrego Garcia came back to the United States,
yep.
they'd be willing to do it and they'd be thrilled about
as
it.
As long as he's not a Maryland man in an El Salvador prison. Listen to the president's interaction with the ABC reporter yesterday, who thinks Donald Trump is going to be his personal airplane, which he'll take with him when he leaves the White House. Go to cut eight, please.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who view that luxury jet as a personal gift to you? Why not leave it behind?
You're ABC fake news, right?
Why not?
It's only ABC. Well, a few of you would. Let me tell you, you should be embarrassed asking that question. They're giving us a free jet. I could say, no, don't give us. I want to pay you $1 billion or $400 million or whatever it is. Or I could say, thank you very much. There was an old golfer named Sam Snead. Did you ever hear of him? He won 82 tournaments. He was a great golfer. And he had a motto. When they give you a putt, you say, thank you very much. You pick up your ball and you walk to the next hole. A lot of people are stupid. They say, no, I insist on putting it. And then they putt it and they miss it. And their partner gets angry at them. You know what? Remember that. Sam Snead. When they give you a putt, you pick it up and you walk to the next hole and you say, thank you very much.
Respectfully, sir, as a businessman, some people may look at this and say, have you ever been given a gift worth millions of dollars and then not received
anything? Not a gift to me. It's a gift to the Department of Defense. And you should know better because you've been embarrassed enough and so has your network. Your network is a disaster. ABC is a disaster.
Yeah. You think ABC aired that clip?
Probably not.
No, I'm going to think no.
Or they
definitely
cut it off before
not.
He got to that. Yeah. How? What a stupid question. Of course, it's not a gift to the president.
It's not like he gets to keep it once he's no longer president. It's not like a parting gift.
Yes, and please take this $400 million airplane. Is
when
a
you go
token
to a,
of our appreciation.
When you go to a kid's birthday party, you get a goodie bag. They just put a $400 million jet. That's his goodie bag.
Yeah.
For, thank you for visiting.
Uh huh.
Come back again.
Uh huh. I'm often reminded of how poor the media environment treats its employees. And this week was a good example of it. We have someone we know who celebrated 30 years with the company. The gift was a brand new Mercedes.
Which company?
And I'm not going to say it on the air. And
a car company?
20, 30 years. I know people that have been 30 years at at jobs in the media, and like you get a pat on the back. You might get a little trophy or something.
A car is a little excessive.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It makes me realize long ago that I must have gone into the wrong business.
I don't want a mouse pad or anything.
I'm just saying.
I don't need a car.
30 years, gold watch. Or a Mercedes. That's nice. All right. Going to get to a break here. We have Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends. He's been on a little hiatus, but he's back. We'll get to him after the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Back on the air this morning after being runner-up for Pope, it is Mr. Todd Pyro, the host of Fox and Friends First.
Look, I mean, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
and I just want the people of America, the people of the world, and let's be realistic, specifically the people of St. Louis, because I know you like to fight Chicago every now and again. I tried my best. But it wasn't meant to be.
Just wasn't quite meant to be. But, you know, here's the great thing. The people in Chicago are hoping for a little stroke of good luck, a little bit of godly support of their sports teams. Just think what could have happened in New York if that had happened.
The Knicks look like they're on a pretty good run here. And everybody's seen this by now. Like last week when the Pope was picked and the Knicks had taken the first two games in Boston, based upon the play of Jalen Brunson and Josh Harder, both went to Villanova. The Pope went to Villanova. People are like, what a great run for Villanova last week, you know?
I see the connection. Boy, you guys have been wall-to-wall coverage so far, the Saudi Arabia touchdown this morning.
Oh, yeah. And this has been coordinated. They brought us in early, 4 a.m., to do our part, and then they extended Friends because we knew the schedule was going to hit at 5 a.m. Eastern, which is noon there in Saudi Arabia. And so what they decided to do was just have consistency of control rooms and shows. They moved us back an hour and brought Friends on an hour earlier so that, you know, they could follow the events from start to finish.
Well, imagine what it must have been like working at CNN this week, yesterday, having to announce the drug deal, the China trade deal, a U.S. hostage being brought back, potential, you know, peace talks between Russia and Ukraine, all in the same day. They couldn't even keep up.
And they're the breaking news folks.
I know.
that's their specialty, as the children say. So, and while all that was happening, I was on a golf course, Trump Edminster, raising money for Tunnel to Towers with somebody who's a St. Louis resident. And I did not know this, Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, yes. He lives just to the west of downtown St. Louis and is pretty involved in ministry. From what I hear.
Yes. And we talked about that. Addiction recovery as well. Mm-hmm. Ministry. What a great guy. I grew up as so many kids back then. I mean, now I'm 47, but we all wanted that Daryl Strawberry swing, even though we weren't lefties. I asked him about it. I was like, so how did that happen? He's just like, what felt comfortable for me, and for me it was all about the hands. It was a great time hanging out with him. We're on the same plane when it comes to golf. Not very good, but that's not what we're contributing to this great world. He's always willing to talk about how he's turned his life around from the addiction, and he's helping people now, which is great.
We've been playing that soundbite from the ABC reporter who was asking Trump about this plane that he's getting. I say Qatar, but Qatar, whatever, tomato, tomato.
Right.
But the reporter's like, well, this is like basically a personal gift to you. And he's like, it's not a personal gift to me. I don't get to keep the plane.
Right.
What have you guys been talking about when it comes to that?
You know, honestly, kind of have, I don't want to say been ignoring it. It's just out of everything that is happening, is that the number one issue? I think the focus has really been within the context of the trade deals, within the context of the deals with these countries, period. And the overall approach of getting the financing from the Middle East to combat China, because at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. This is a Middle East trip that I must have said the word China, 10 times this morning, because that's ultimately what this all relates to. And I think you raise such an important point. That said, I understand the optics look a little weird and it does need to be explained. So, I don't fault my colleagues in the mainstream media for asking and raising the point. I think it's fair. I think it's a fair point to raise, but I also think it's an important clarifier that you're providing. Like, it's not like, January 20th in 2029, Trump's like, my plane. I take it.
It's going to go in my library.
Right. So, by the way, my favorite part of yesterday, with all that you mentioned, have you played that soundbite this morning on drug pricing?
I have, yes.
Where he's like, I had this friend, he's fat.
Right?
He's
on
a fat drug. And, I said, it's not working for you. The ability of him to be comedic without even trying is truly it's an amazing skill.
And he probably did say that to the guy. Hey, back to Bedminster real quick.
Sure.
Is this like Pebble Beach or something? Like, if you're not a member, is it hard to get on to play there unless you're in a tournament or something?
Yeah. I don't want to say it's to the level of Pebble Beach. I've not tried. I'm not a golfer. But it's not a public muni. And my playing partner actually won the club championship in 2013, which Trump values a lot. And we kind of like, so how much? How much it cost to get on? And he would not answer the question.
Oh.
So there you go. There you have it.
So he's probably played with Trump then, hasn't he?
He's played with him multiple times.
Uh-huh. Has he beaten him?
Again, that's going to stay in the vault.
That's a yes.
My guess is probably
okay,
because this guy is a little bit younger. He's in his 60s as opposed to Trump in the 70s, and this guy is an excellent golfer. He plays, now that he's retired and his wife's retired, he plays all the time. So he has a little bit more flexibility than the leader of the free world. But he's a member at both Bedminster and Trump International in Florida.
Nice so, goals
some bucks,
there.
Goals. Some bucks.
Todd Pyro, glad to have you back, my friend. Thank you.
Great to be back. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Yeah.
That might have been the most serious conversation we've had with him in a very long time.
I know.
You just never really know what you'll end up talking about.
He sounded just a little worn out from all of his golf, didn't he? I felt bad for him.
He sounded a little tired.
Last time he was complaining that his voice was all scratchy because he smoked a cigar while he was golfing.
On my podcast, A Spy with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
But I guess he didn't do that this time. All right, yeah, I'd love to play Bedminster. That'd be a lot of fun. No kidding. Coming up, we're going to get to 2A Tuesday. Mark Walters in with us in just a minute. We got Kim on a Whim coming up as well. And the next hour, Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America. We'll be right back.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, our friend Mark Walters on the phone with us from Armed American Radio. Mark, I hope you're having as good a morning as Donald Trump had yesterday.
Oh, man, a better day than the ABC reporter he belittled on national television. I was watching that live and just lost it. I love it.
It is something to behold, isn't it? Like, who are you with, ABC? That's fake news. This is why you're a failing network. That's a dumb question. Why would you ask me that? Like, number one, you remember when the Clintons left office and they had to return a bunch of the furniture they stole because they weren't supposed to take those home with them? Donald Trump wouldn't, if he was going to take a plane from somebody, he wouldn't go on national television and announce it.
You know, after I got pulled myself off the floor, I thought, what reporter looks at this and doesn't say to their editor, "Are you really want me to ask Donald Trump this? Why are you doing this to me on national television?" It's just hilarious watching him operate. And, you know, watching the Democrats eat their own is also wonderful. David Hogg now, you know, as vice chair of the DNC, that doesn't achieve gender balance, you know. I mean, the Democrats are just making fools of themselves all day, every day, and it's just hilarious to watch. It really is. It's fun.
Look
it's
at AOC. AOC just went ranting on Instagram yesterday about Tom Homan, and they're all, well, she's angry about stuff all the time, but yesterday her anger was aimed at Homan.
But for the New Jersey ICE detention facility, right?
Yeah.
And Christy
Let's go out. Yeah, don't go to the schools, which I saw a report this morning. New Jersey's eighth graders are graduating out of eighth grade with less than 37% reading and mathematics skills. And they're storming illegal alien criminal detention. It just doesn't make any sense. It's become a sport watching this. Good morning, Kim, by the way.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's like the guy that was on Gutfeld last night. I've got his soundbite on here. This was pretty funny. Listen to this.
What Donald Trump's doing, he's saving American money. And, you know, he's really, you know, putting America first again. And, you know, I guarantee the Dems would be okay with this if it was a plane full of illegal immigrants coming to America.
Yeah, Colby Covington is that guy's name. He was on Gutfeld last night, and he's talking. He said if they're just flying over some illegals, they'd be fine with it unless they happen to be from South Africa.
Yeah, well, they're what, 56 white people, and that's got the Democrats going crazy on MSDNC and CNN, God forbid. You know, this is really, we're at a spot in this nation where I look at this and I wonder, when is the day going to come when we look over our shoulders and go, what just happened, you know, over the last 20 years? It's crazy. It's
right.
We're in an upside-down world.
Right. Well, again, and it gets to a society where you've unarmed people, disarmed them, I should say. It's like, I guess, being unhoused if you're unarmed.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's talk about unarmed and disarmed. There's a difference.
Yes.
Unarmed is a choice. Disarmed is by force.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. You know, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I was looking at this story on your website about, and we talk about, I've talked about suppressors a lot. They had a big sale at the Range, St. Louis West, where I go as a member, and they were going to pay your tax stamp this month if certain companies are willing to, like SIG and a couple of the others are showing their suppressors off, and they're willing to pay your tax stamp if you buy one of their suppressors. The fact that you still have to pay a $200 fine to apply for the right to get a suppressor is maddening. And now we have ATF agents on there bragging about all their brand new suppressors.
Yeah, and Clyde amended the bill, the Hearing Suppressor Act, to a suppression act to include an elimination of that $200 quote unquote tax stamp.
Good.
Which, by the way, this is interesting, which, by the way, has not changed in over 100 years.
Yeah.
So think about the difference inflated cost of $200 100 years ago versus today, right? I mean, the whole thing is ludicrous. I should be able to buy anything I want out of a vending machine, as far as I'm concerned.
We had somebody on, when was it? Was that last year? That was they were
something like that.
Promoting
ammo.
In some states you could buy ammo right out of a vending machine. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that in Missouri yet.
No, I wish they were doing it here, but I should be able to buy whatever gun I want. I should be able to walk into a gun shop and buy a gun right out of a vending machine and take it home with me.
Honestly. I mean, so the thing about it is the Eric Burleson has talked about trying to do something within this reconciliation bill that would affect the NFA. Have you heard any news on that?
I knew you were going to ask about that. Yeah, I don't know what the end result of this is going to be.
Okay.
And I'm hearing a lot of different things about the Hearing Suppression Act, et cetera. We're just going to have to watch this and follow this. I don't really have any good information on that right now. This is unfolding pretty quick. I had Doug Hamlin, the executive VP of the National Rifle Association, on the program with me on Sunday evening for an hour, and we had a wide-ranging discussion. People are feeling better. He didn't feel real good about the national reciprocity right now. More, you know, as you and I have talked about, the Hearing Suppression Act is what should probably move first because it is a safety issue, right?
Sure. Sure.
Versus national concealed carry reciprocity. It's just the politics of it right now. The Senate is the holdup. You need 60 votes in the Senate, and that's a problem. And these are not reconciliation bills that are not budget related, so they're going to be an issue in the Senate. You know, how do we do it? We're going to have to add six more seats to the Senate and give us a guaranteed majority so we can get to that 60-vote threshold. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
You know, these things are not going to move fast, as fast as we want them to move, sadly, because we should no longer need permits anyway. I should be able to carry my gun when I cross into New Jersey if I'm stupid enough to drive to New Jersey with a gun.
I would guess, and I could be wrong about this, that tax stamp, while at $200 a lick, generates some amount of money for the federal government. It's not significant enough that it would matter, because I know that it's a give and take with this reconciliation bill. Every bit of money they take away, they have to make up for somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if eliminating that, if they make $100 million a year on it, or $10 million a year on it, or however much they make on that tax stamp, I wonder if that's a holdup at all in this reconciliation bill.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Yeah, you do have to wonder. And there's also something else. I'm bouncing all over, but I want to try to get everything in as quick as we can here. But silencer, let me just say silencer. I'm not going to name a company name. But you've got companies out there that have kiosks up in gun shops that expedite the process, and they're fantastic. But should they even be necessary?
Right.
I mean, a lot of these companies have built, you know, big business models around the National Firearms Act requiring the tax stamp and the application and everything to buy a suppressor. You know, will they support? How will they? That's a huge business model for them and a lot of money.
It's a great question, and people can always get answers to that by listening to Armed American Radio. Mark Walters, you're the best, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure. Love you guys.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Great getting him on here, and to be sure and tune in to Armed American Radio. Armed American Radio and armedamericannews.org is a great clearinghouse for a lot of that information as well. Kim, what are we talking about today on Kim and a Whim?
Well, we know that companies across the country have been dealing with just people wreaking havoc, coming in and being destructive and being violent and vandalism, all kinds of things. Well, there's one business that is, I say drastic, taking drastic measures to try to cut back on that. I'll explain.
All right, we'll be right back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
On 97.1 FM Talk. Kim on a Whim.
I feel bad for these companies that are having to deal with people just being rude and reckless, and not to hate on the younger crowd, but it seems like they can be part of the problem.
Right.
And vandalism, and just everything. We've seen that here in St. Louis. Well, there's a McDonald's location in Virginia that's getting some pushback because it rolled out a new policy. It's not really clear if this is permanent or just temporary. I'd think temporary. But here's what they're saying. There's a sign on the door that says no one under the age of 21 is allowed to dine inside the restaurant. They said the decision was made to protect our staff, our guests, and our community. That's what the sign says. So here's
Because
there's been so many just issues with violence, and specifically with the students there.
Yeah, they're out of control. Any teacher, any substitute teacher, there's a lack of respect these days among teenagers. They do things I couldn't have imagined getting away with in middle school or high school. And when they're in public, that behavior carries over, where there's even less chance of them being disciplined by anyone. The schools don't discipline them to begin with, but at least maybe you get detention or something. Mm-hmm. When you walk into a public establishment, this is a McDonald's that's right next to several schools, right?
Right. They're saying it's a popular lunchtime and after-school hangout, so that's why they're really upset about it, because they're saying, well, this is where we go. So adults are being asked to ring the doorbell to be let in. You can still do drive-through and mobile ordering, and that you can do that no matter how old you are, but you quite literally have to ring a doorbell and they'll look at you, and I guess they card you, or they just make sure you look at least 21 before they let you in.
Think of how desperate a situation this must be for this restaurant owner. It must be so bad that they're willing to sacrifice a lot of profit because the kids who are coming there to hang out and misbehave in the lobby are probably, well, in most cases, at least buying lunch or a Coke or something while they're there. And you're having to turn away all that business because their behavior is so bad, it's affecting other customers.
Well, yeah, I mean, their behavior is probably deterring other customers from wanting to dine there because they don't want to deal with it. That's what's really sad. There has to be something that they could do. I mean, wouldn't there be some sort of like a charge police could
nuisance? I mean, I would think there would be something, but, you know, this may not be unlike what we see in the city of St. Louis, where you call 911 and you say, my car's just been vandalized, and they're like, good luck. Mm-hmm. They may just not have the personnel. Where is this? McLean, Virginia? Is that where it is? Franconia, Virginia. Fairfax County.
Mm-hmm.
They may not just have the personnel to be able to deal with it every day. If it's an ongoing problem, they would risk being labeled a nuisance business if they had calls there every single day by police.
Could be shut down.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the dilemma that a lot of businesses are having to face, especially depending on where they're located. If this is a recurring problem, I mean, yeah, they might have to take a drastic measure like this.
Well, this is a suggestion, and it'll be a controversial one, but how about you parent your darn kids? This all starts in the home, and I'm of the longstanding belief that when parents stopped disciplining children at home, they tried to leave it up to the school, and it wasn't long before the school stopped disciplining kids too, and now there's no fallout at all for bad behavior. There's nothing, no repercussion at all. They get away with it at home. They get away with it at school. There's nothing to stop them from showing that same lack of respect mm-hmm. in a business.
Well, and then they continue that behavior as an adult.
Right.
And you can tell when you meet somebody and they're acting a certain way, you can probably tell that, yeah, you probably were never taught right from wrong. I mean, obviously some parents do everything right and the kids still just stray, and that happens. I'm not saying this is automatically the parents' fault, but you're right. This is definitely a thing now where parents don't, it seems like they don't want to take responsibility for disciplining. The school is implementing all these policies where you isn't like the open hand policy. Like yeah. You can't do anything. If the kid's misbehaving and hitting you, it's like you can't even defend yourself.
My guess is they won't be the last restaurant to do that. They're probably not the first, but this one at least made headlines for doing it, right? Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Chad Pergram about the clash in Newark outside of that ICE detention facility. Stay tuned.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.